Hey guys, no, I didn't record at all this week anything. But I was reading when I was in the bus riding over to Maryland. I was reading a bunch of creepypastas and I got really into it and actually got really scared about some of them. So I decided to do some light reading and let's see where that goes. Something new. So let's try it out. So the title of this micro pasta is called Nightmares. I used to think nightmares were fun, so I asked for more. They were the only source of excitement in my endless rut of a life. I never used to get nightmares, and for that, I should have been grateful. I wasn't. I wished for more. I craved the adrenaline and the pounding of my heart as my eyes flew open. They say be careful what you wish for. They're not lying. The nightmares started to come quicker and much more often. It was small things at first. The things anyone would have. Being chased by wild dogs. Being abandoned or running naked into school. I tired of them quickly. I had no reason to keep myself awake from them. Soon, they began to become more intense. My brain began playing with me. I'd be held down by my throat, unable to breathe, unable to scream, my chest heaving but no air entering my lungs. I'd be torn at, my skin coming away like butter. I'd be tied down as those I trusted sliced into me. I began to dream of hell. Then I'd wake, my eyes not quite focusing on anything in my small box room. The purples of my cushions would merge with the cream of my wall, and the giant teddy bear that sat in the corner would blur. But I could breathe. There was no pressure on my throat. I would take in deep lungfuls of air as if I hadn't breathed for hours. I scratched in my skin to check if I was still there, and it was. I would check my clock, and it would always be the same time, 5 minutes past three. In the morning became my waking hour. My eyes would try to slide close, but I couldn't let that happen. Instead, I'd pull myself to the bathroom, down the carpeted hall, and splash icy water on my face until I was no longer in danger. The sleep deprivation, I concluded, would be better than facing the horrors of a night. I'd go into school like a zombie, and nobody seemed to notice that anything was different. I began to become paranoid. As people walked past me, the memories would come rushing back, invading my mind. She was the one who made the first incision 2 nights ago. He was the one who had his hand over my neck last week. And they were the ones that retrieved the knives in the depths of hell. I pushed everyone away, in fear that they would build hell on earth, so I sat alone, excluding myself from the drone of conversation and the inconvenience of life. My nightmares would plague me. Creative writing assignments in English were easy. Just pick a night and there was a horror story right there. Talks of battle and history shocked others, but barely even struck me as odd. The drawings I did in art made everyone feel nauseous, but seemed quite normal to me. Lessons on hell and RE would strike fear into my very soul. Of all the things I needed, more imaginary, but hiatus was not one of them. Those lessons began to creep into my dreams too. A human being could go 14 days without sleep before they die. The record for days without sleep is 11 days, a record which is held by a university student from America. My record is 5 days. I started hallucinating so horrifically on day 5, I couldn't take it anymore. The susurrous whispering began first, those voices assuring it me that I was crazy, that I was worthless and doomed to be ended by my own mind. Next, it was a high-pitched squealing. It sounded like nails running down a chalkboard or a knife scraping against a plate, only twice as high and five times as loud. Then, inanimate objects began to turn. The spots of brightness emitting from plants and pictures blinding me. I knew that these were merely coincidence, but can a schizophrenic stop having hallucinations? Neither can someone suffering with extreme sleep deprivation. I decided to suck it up and face the monsters every night. I've been sleeping well. Well, when I say well, I mean I've been getting 6 hours of sleep a night. That's why I know I'm not hallucinating when I see dark figures in my bedroom at night. When I hear the creaking of my door open, I know it's real. When the piercing screams of tortured souls invade my eardrums, it's actually happening. When I hear the hiss threats and they're coming for me, sadly, I know that's real too. They say be careful what you wish for, and I wish for hell. And I got it. It's 3:05 in the morning, and I can hear them. So here is the second part of this episode. This one is from also a creepypasta website, and it is called The Devil's Playground. So let's start it. My foot tapped eagerly on the floor of the internet cafe. I looked at the unattended laptop, then back to the counter. The laptop was sitting there, unlocked for over 10 minutes. It would be an easy sell, and I did have bills to pay. As soon as the barista opened the double doors and disappeared into the kitchen, I went for it. Quickly packing up my belongings, I covered my head with the head of my sweater and swiftly grabbed the laptop on my way out the door. My heart was pounding as I jammed the PC into my bag and began my brisk walk home. I couldn't help but feel paranoid, as if everyone's eyes were glued to me. I jogged up the stairs of my stop, frantically typed in my door code, and hurried into the living room of my condo. I had done it. I was home free. Adrenaline continued to pop through my veins as I opened the laptop on my coffee table. I couldn't believe it. It was still unlocked. I pondered as to why someone would disable the lock screen and leave a laptop unchecked for 5 hours. In that moment, I felt like they deserve to have it stolen. Still, I knew I had to cover my tracks. I placed a small piece of tape over the webcam and searched the PC for any tracking or security software. I found nothing. After exploring the application and hard drive, I concluded that everything seemed pretty basic for the most part. However, one icon in the bottom right-hand corner of the desktop did catch my eye. It depicted an animated bright red demon hauling a pitchfork. The text under the logo read, "The Devil's Playground." My curiosity piqued, and I opened it. An autofill login page appeared. Username, XX, Scarecrow, XX, password, I wasn't sure. I hit enter, and my eyes lit up. It was an absolute gold mine. A flood of endorphins washed over me as I browsed the content, thousands of pirated movies, TV shows, games, and music. There were even films that were currently in theaters and premium TV shows with up-to-date episodes. All were HD and the streams were flawless. I was in heaven. I went to the refrigerator, cracked open a beer, and basked in the euphoria of my incredible discovery. I had just discovered the mecca of pirated content. 5 years later, I continued to rifle through the electronic wonderland and queued all of my favorite shows and films. The hours flew by. Eventually, one video intrigued my curiosity. It was at the bottom of every page I visited, and the thumbnail portrayed the same devilish image as the icon. The description read, "Victoria," in bright pink lettering. As soon as I clicked it, a new window popped open and an image came into view. Immediately, I noticed it was a live stream video. The camera was pointed on a blue suede armchair in an otherwise empty white-walled room, lit only by a single overhead fluorescent light. What happened next took me by surprise. A beautiful woman entered the bright room. She wore a long white silk robe covered in a pattern of golden flowers. Her jet black hair and red lipstick highlighted her breathtaking facial features. She sat in the armchair and stared at the camera as she spoke. "What do we have here? My name is Victoria." I continued to watch, wondering if the video was pre-recorded or streaming in real life. "You must be shy. Is that why you won't let me see you?" the woman said as her lips curved into a seductive smile. My heart pounded like a drum as I looked at the tape covering the lens of the laptop. A faint green light glowed underneath. She spoke again. "Maybe if I take off this robe, you'll lighten up a bit." Victoria got up from the chair and let the robe slide to her feet. My mouth dropped as I stared at her bare body. "So, are you going to let me see you now?" she said with a small laugh. The alcohol in my blood was doing a great job of limiting my inhibitions. I took a deep breath and tore off the tape. Victoria smiled as she leaned in close to the camera. "Well, aren't you cute?" she cooed. "Thanks," I said, with too much enthusiasm. I put my hands up and proceeded to bury my face in embarrassment. She laughed. "You're beautiful," I said, full of liquid confidence. It was all I could think to say in that moment. Victoria laughed with delight. "Well, thank you, Mr. Carter," I said. "Carter, I like that," she said smoothly as she crossed her legs. "Do you have a last name?" "Valentine," I barked like a trained dog. "Tell me about yourself, Mr. Carter Valentine," Victoria whispered as she sat back down in the armchair. And I did. Between all the beers, her seductive voice, and my inability to take my eyes off of her flawless naked body, I told her everything she asked. My name, age, where I live, how I found her live stream, and more. It all happened so fast, and before I knew it, Victoria got up, put her ivory robe back on, and walked up to the camera. Her voice was no longer smooth and seductive. "Thanks, Carter. We have everything we need. Also, it isn't very nice to take what isn't yours." She laughed menacingly as she turned off the camera. The video feed ended abruptly, and the screen turned black. I started to panic at the realization of what had happened. Pacing around the room, I tried to assure myself that everything was fine. Paranoid questions raced through my mind. Why did I tell her all of that? "It's fine. You'll be fine, right?" Just then, I heard the familiar beeping of my door's keypad and the deadbolt unlock. My fight or flight kicked in and my heart pounded. Fight. I quickly grabbed the nearest object as a makeshift weapon. Unfortunately, that object was a pillow. The door swung open. To my relief, my roommate Dylan walked inside and eyed me curiously while I held the pillow like a baseball bat. "Are you trying to have a pillow fight, dude? Because I'm not partaking," Dylan said sarcastically as he trotted down the stairs to his basement bedroom. I dropped the pillow back on the couch, sat down, and laughed at myself for being so paranoid. The online encounter was bizarre, but I concluded that it could have been worse. Victoria didn't ask for my credit card or social security number. She knew my name, where I lived, and a few less important details. As my panicking subsided, figured I would relax and watch TV in my room. I went upstairs to close the laptop and set it in my nightstand. There was nothing on TV as usual. I went back to my laptop and decided to browse the plethora of videos on the newly discovered webpage. I clicked the devil icon and logged on. That's when a new menu option caught my eye. It simply read, "Fun." I wish I hadn't found it. As I clicked and browsed through the content, my stomach turned. The page was full of gruesome gore and tortured videos. I didn't dare to watch any of them. My Mecca had turned to hell. Disgusted, I closed the laptop once again. I decided I would anonymously drop the laptop with the police, with instructions of how to access the preloaded dark web portal in the morning. It wasn't worth the easy money. My phone chimed. I looked at the screen and saw that I had a text from Dylan. God forbid he came up the stairs for any reason. Dylan said, "Hey, aren't you supposed to be dog-sitting or whatever?" I cursed as I read the text. He was right. I promised our friends on the street that I would stay at their place this weekend to look after the dog. I quickly packed a few belongings as well as a laptop and walked over to the building. It was 4 a.m. I woke in at the sound of my cell phone chiming. I had another text from Dylan. He said, "Click the devil." A wave of confusion washed over me. Was he talking about the dark website I discovered today? How did he know? I responded back to him, "What?" Dylan said, "Tell anyone, and Dylan's dead." I quickly realized this was not Dylan. I frantically grabbed the laptop and opened the webpage. There was a new scrolling at the top of the page reading, "Live, click now, live." I clicked the link and froze. It was another live stream video. The screen showed two huge metal cellar doors leading into the ground. The camera panned to the left. Dylan's horrified eyes met the camera. He was gagged and his hands were bound behind his back. Two men in devil masks opened the cellar door and two others prodded Dylan forward, down a flight of stairs leading straight into the ground. Whoever was filming, following closely behind as they led him down the descent into darkness. I reached for my phone to call the police. Just before I dialed, I remembered the ominous text warning me of the consequences. All I could do was watch. Dylan reached the bottom of the stairs, and I read the familiar words written in red above the threshold of the dark underground facility, the Devil's Playground. Once again, the masked men pushed him forward down the hall. Horrifying sounds echoed throughout. Blood-curdling screams, drills, engines, and maniacal laughter. I was able to catch glimpses of the rooms through the glass windows as the camera passed by. Tears filled my eyes when I saw them. Horribly mangled bodies chained to the floor, gore splattered walls and twitching bodies, and top blood-stained operating tables. At one point, the camera passed the familiar white-walled room with the blue armchair where Victoria's live stream was. Dylan was ushered inside a pitch-black room near the end of the hall and shackled to the stone floor. The door behind him was slammed shut, leaving the video feed in complete darkness. He started to hyperventilate. Dylan's sobs filled the room. A few moments later, glowing firelight slowly illuminated in the area as large torches were lit. I studied the room. A dozen figures in black robes stood still, surrounding the wooden altar. Behind a black pulpit near the back of the altar was a familiar face, Victoria. In the center of the room was a massive stone box. It appeared to be ancient. It was covered in unfamiliar marking. An unsettling thought came to my head, and I feared it would be Dylan's final resting place. The camera panned to Victoria as she looked down and began reading from a large book resting atop the pulpit. The unfamiliar Latin words rolled off of her tongue as the hooded men around her whispered rapid, incoherent prayers. The camera pointed back to the center of the room as I stared in disbelief. A hand appeared from within the sarcophagus. Its rotting, black skin hung loose from its bones. The creature slowly pulled itself out and stood on the stone floor to face Dylan. An inhumane screech escaped its mouth. Victoria's satanic preaching bounced from every wall. I refused to believe what I saw, yet I couldn't look away. I was petrified with horror and disbelief. I could only describe the creature as an eyeless, decomposing corpse, awkwardly stumbling from its tomb. At that moment, I knew why Dylan was there. He was an offering. a sacrifice to this thing, this demon. This was the devil's playground. The creature stood up, walked towards Dylan, crouched down. His sobs turned to screams and the camera zoomed in. The reading and whispering had stopped. All eyes focused on this unfolding situation. After what I could only assume was the creature smelling him, it sunk his teeth into Dylan's neck and tore his flesh away. I retched. Blood pulsed from his open wound, and he thrashed in agony. A few moments later, he was still. With impossible force, the demons pulled the shackles from the wall and dragged Dylan's lifeless body to the sarcophagus as the video feed cut out. I went for the laptop. I needed evidence to give to the police. I drove as fast as I could to the station. I slammed the laptop on the counter, frantically rambling about all that I have just seen. When a detective attempted to load the webpage, it wouldn't work. User denied. It isn't very easy to take what isn't yours, was the exact error message that appeared on the screen.